Welcome to the Keynote Podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Clive Urquhart.
Just over the last few days, since Saturday really, just been praying a bit, and you know, we're used to having good meetings and prayer times and various things. Some can be stronger, more powerful than others. But something just on Saturday just, I don't know, grabbed me personally. We don't want a visitation. We don't want visits from God. We don't just want to have good meetings. Or we don't just want to have, for a short season of time, a visit from God, you know, for a few weeks or even a few months, and then it kind of goes, you know. We don't want to be consumed by, our focus has got to be on who he is, on Jesus, and not on trying to get something to happen or trying to get a move of God or trying to get something of the Spirit taken. We don't concentrate on that. You know, we've got to be consumed or concentrate on who he is. And this whole thing about being a habitation and not just having a visitation. And, okay, some of that habitation happens in a meeting, but it's what you and me, what we cultivate in our own personal lives, what we cultivate when we're on our own, that defines and shapes you as a living temple, a living stone, as an environment for God's presence to come and abide in, to remain in. Now, we know, according to the Word, that he is in us, he is with us. But yet, also, there's something about God being with us that is tangible, that something of God's life and presence flows through us. On our lives. Just turn to Acts chapter 10 for a minute, verse 38, and have a look there. You know, God spoke to us Sunday morning and said, I want to take you off the beaten track. Now, the context that Steve brought that was more to do with a worship in terms of when he brought it. But how do you get off the beaten track is when the Holy Spirit is allowed to lead, when the Holy Spirit is given the space to take control, to be in control. And, you know, because when the Holy Spirit is in control of your life or my life, our lives, then he takes us off the beaten track. He leads us in a way where we have to trust him and things begin to take place that maybe weren't taking place before. And I just want to look at a couple of scriptures to start with Acts 10 verse 30. Now, this is Peter describing who Jesus was, okay? Well, let's read a couple of verses before so that you get a bit more context. Then Peter began to speak, verse 34. I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people. So this is Peter talking to some Gentiles, okay? So God had just blown all his fuses. So God had taken him off the beaten track. Okay, so this is Peter at the house of a Gentile preaching the gospel, and God begins to move. They begin to get saved. They begin to get baptized in the Holy Spirit. So this is out of Peter's comfort zone, what is actually going on here at this moment, okay? It's out of their what they understand or how they understood God would do things. Then he says, verse 36 or verse 35, but God accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil. Now, these are the key words, because God was with him. I love those verses just there. All of that happened, it says, because God was with him. another story in John chapter 3. It's where Nicodemus comes to Jesus, John 3, first few verses. Now, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the miraculous signs you are doing if God were not with him." What did Moses say? How will anybody know that we are any different from anybody else unless you are with us? In Acts chapter 7, you don't have to turn there necessarily, in verse 9, it's talking about when Joseph had the favour of God on his life, and it said that God was doing what he was doing because God was with him. Now, God being with Jesus, God being with Joseph, God being with different people in different situations is more than just, I'm saved, I'm a believer, therefore God's with me. Hallelujah, off we go. I'll sort of live how I want to and expect God to move powerfully. There is something connected with walking with God, spending time with God, so that when we go around our everyday lives, there's something of God that is with us in a tangible way. There's something of a mark of God. See, God is with us because he saved us. But God doesn't just want to be with us in terms of what we're doing. We want to be with him in our lives to do what he wants to do, so that he is with us to accomplish what he wants to do through us. Do you understand the difference or not? Yes, no?
Yes.
There's a difference between saying, "God, bless what I'm doing because you're with me," and having been with God, therefore you're led by the Holy Spirit, in, if you like, to then do what God wants to do so that he's with us in what he wants to do. Mm-hmm. See, what did Jesus say? "I only do the things my Father shows me to do, and I only say the things that he gives me to speak." He said, I and the Father are one. If you've seen me, then you've seen the Father. There was something about God with him, Emmanuel, God with us, or God with him, that was tangible, kind of, where did you get that authority? See, the authority that Jesus had, yet one, it was because he was submitted to the Father. He was under authority. But what does God's authority look like in your everyday life? It looks like the presence of God. See, they said to Jesus, "Where did you get that authority?" So here's Jesus teaching the people. They've heard other people teach, but it didn't have the same impact. They'd heard other people say things, but it didn't have the same, it just didn't have the same thing. But they said, "Where did you get that authority? There's something about you. There's a presence about you. There's something, there's an authority. There's something on you. There's something that is... Where did you get it from?" He got it from being in the presence of God. He got it. What do you do in the presence of God? You're basically saying, "God, you're bigger than me." I mean, that's basically what we're saying when we're worshiping God. "God, you are everything to me. You are bigger than me. So therefore, I'm exalting you over my life. I'm worshiping you, not myself any longer." So you're saying, "God, you're bigger than me. God, I surrender to you. God, I submit to you. God, you're far more than I ever am. So I come under your lordship. I come under your rule and reign." So what does God do? He comes upon us. There's something of his presence that begins to come upon us, that not just abide, you know, for that moment, but God wants that presence to abide with us, so that as we're living, it's like God is with us. A tangible sense of his presence. Not just a feeling, but that he's with us. There's something as we abide in him that is rubbing off on us in our lives, that then we are then carrying into our everyday situations. Now, again, we know he's with us because we're saved. But there's a difference between "I'm saved, God's with me," and cultivating an environment in your life that, for the presence of God, to know God, So that then when we're out of that, there's a sensitivity to God, to the Holy Spirit. There's a tangibility about this something of God that is kind of just oozing or dripping. I don't want to be too spiritual this morning and kind of, oh, this is all nice, you know. And but for me, Sunday morning, okay, but Saturday for the wider leadership sessions we had, it was real encouragement from the Lord. But also personally, I feel it was a little bit of a, not a rebuke from the Lord, but it was like a kind of tap on the shoulder from the Lord. Oi, come on, sunshine. And it's easy to get caught up in the busyness of life, the pressures of situations, circumstances where you might need something to happen or need provision or something, and you get caught up in the middle of all of that, decisions and pressures and where are we going, what are we doing in my situation. And yeah, you spend time with the Lord. Yeah, you read the Word. Yeah, you listen and you write things down. And yeah, you pray into stuff. But yet, there's something more. Yes. There's something just is like, I'm not satisfied. Yes. Jesus, there's more of you to discover. There's more of you that you want to reveal, you know, so that I really am captivated, genuinely captivated. And the interesting thing is that the more we cultivate an environment for the presence of God and to know God, the more down to earth you become. Because sometimes, you know, we can think, well, if I really do that, then I don't want to be too spiritual. I don't want to become one of these super spiritual people. I don't want to sort of, actually, if you cultivate the presence of God and you spend time doing that and abiding in God, actually, you become more earthly use to the Lord. Let's put it this way. Your common sense is heightened. Well, you could call that discernment, or you could call that sensitivity, you can call that God's wisdom. But there's some holy common sense. You begin to see things in a different way. You pick things up more quickly. You respond more quickly. You're more sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. It's just everything gets sharpened up. All your spiritual senses are more in tune. Do you know what I mean? We can use that sort of phrase. All your spiritual senses become more alive and alert. To the leading of the Holy Spirit, to the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit, you know. So that, you know, and by talking like this, it's not just everything that goes like this. Ah, Jesus, meek and mild. That's not what we're talking about. Everything just goes, oh, hallelujah. Praise Jesus. That's not what we're talking about. It's having a gentleness of spirit so that, If we've got to be gentle at that moment in some way, great. But if God wants to rise up like a roaring lion on the inside of us or whatever it might be, God can express, or the Holy Spirit can express himself through us in how he wants to at any given moment. So Jesus spent time cultivating the presence of God in his life. You see others, Stephen, Paul, and others cultivating the presence of God. Let's have a look at Mark chapter 1 for a minute. Just a couple of verses. Then we're just going to spend a bit of time just worshipping the Lord. And rather than having a long message this morning. Verse 35. The context was they're in Capernaum. And the night before, they had a bit of a move of God going on. Lots of people got saved. People got set free from demons. It says that everybody who came to the house where they were, at Peter's mother-in-law's house, all got saved and healed and everything. Then, whatever time they got to bed, whether it was late, I don't know, but in verse 35, it says, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him, and when he found him, they exclaimed, everyone is looking for you. Jesus replied, let us go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. So he travelled throughout Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and driving out demons. What's Jesus doing? Jesus' concentration and focus was actually on his relationship with the Father. That was his primary focus, because he knew if I abide in him and he abides in me, if I remain in him and he remains in me, then everything else is going to flow from that. Now, I mean, some of this stuff is just really basic, isn't it? And we know this, but I think there's something of the life and the power of God that he wants to release that isn't just because we pray more or we ramp everything up a bit more or we do this, that, the other. It's something of just cultivating his presence, his life, you know, in us. And that's what Jesus did. While everybody else, maybe it had been a late night, I don't know, maybe a lot of them thought we'll have a lie-in today because we had a busy night last night. And but Jesus got up early while everybody else was still asleep, went and prayed. Why? Because he wanted to be with the Father. He wanted to cultivate the presence of God, because he knew whatever was going to come that day, he needed to be ready for it. He didn't want to meet it with yesterday's fruitfulness. He didn't want to meet it with yesterday's momentum. He didn't want to meet what was going to happen on that day with yesterday's anointing, if you like, or the way the Holy Spirit moved the day before. He didn't want to meet it saying, well, because we're on a roll, because the Holy Spirit's moving, because we saw loads of stuff happen yesterday, well, we're just in the flow with God, so we'll just, you know, I'll just, whatever, I'm sure God's going to do it. There was that kind of, I don't want to take anything for granted. Yeah. I don't want to say, well, because it happened yesterday, it's going to happen today. I want to be submitted. I want to be available. I want to know what the Father's heart is. So he went off to abide, to remain, spend time with the Father. Obviously, the guys came looking for him. Come on, Jesus, everybody's waiting for you. And maybe if he got caught up in the moment, they would have stayed in Capernaum and said, well, yeah, great, let's have a teaching day or a conference or something and get everybody in, and, you know, let's get on the internet, get everybody coming for the day or whatever. But he didn't. He said, no, that was great what happened yesterday, but we've got to go somewhere else today, because the Holy Spirit is leading us to go somewhere else and to see some other things happen. Number of other situations you can read or look at. Where Matthew 14, he goes up to the mountainside to pray. There's quite a number of verses through the New Testament where he goes off, you know, up to the mountain or a mountain to go and spend time with the Father. He sends the disciples off and he goes off to pray. Why? Do you ever, I don't know, when you read about Jesus, do you ever get this sense that there was something in him that was just, if I've got the opportunity to go and be with the Father, then I'm gonna take it. You know, there was that kind of just thing, you know, have I got a few minutes with disciples? Lads, you go and get in the boat and I'll catch you up later. You know, I want to just go and spend a bit of time, you know. And so they went off on the boat. He goes up the mountainside, worships a little bit, and whatever he does, prays, you know, cultivates this presence of God in his life. And then he catches them up, walks on the water, freaks them out a little bit, doesn't he? And how do you get that kind of thing going in your life? Is it a place of nirvana? Is it a place where, well, one day I'll get there when I'm spiritual enough? Well, I don't know if I, you know, does that mean I need to pray for 2 hours and get up even earlier? I think some of it is, how many of you like sweets, wine gums, chocolate, whatever? How many of you know, for me with wine gums, if I have a couple, I have to eat the whole packet. Yeah, anybody like that? And they're half price in Tesco Express at the moment, so temptation is high. Somebody bought me a packet yesterday and I haven't opened them, which is a miracle. They're normally all gone by now, but I put them in the cupboard at home. I thought, I'll come to those another day. But what do you do when you take one wine gum and you're like, that's nice, I like that. And you take another one, I like that. You have another one, and then you have a couple, you know. And then you think, right, I need to put the packet away because I've had a few now. And then you think, well, I'll just take three or four and then put the packet away. So you take three or four and you fold the packet up and put it away. Or you're driving along in the car. Driving along in the car, three or four more. No, I can't eat the whole packet in half an hour, you know, one of these things. But then you're driving along and you haven't had one for a couple of minutes and you think, oh, I could just another one or two. And before you know where you are, you've eaten the whole packet, yeah? And what do you do then? Chad wishes he never started in the first place. You've got two options. You think, right, that's enough. I've eaten the whole packet. The fact that I haven't got the packet now, I can't keep taking it. Or you see a service station, pull in and buy another packet. What's that got to do with... Sometimes we eat a whacking great big meal. You feel totally bloated and think, man, I just can't eat till tomorrow. Or you begin to have a bit of a taste of something and you think, I want a bit more of that. And so you have another one. So you have another one. And I think that's how you cultivate a desire and an environment for the presence of God, to know him, to want to be with him. Instead of just saying, well, I need to spend longer in the morning then. You know, if I had a longer time, that would do it. That's the key, you know. Instead of spending this time, I'll spend that time. And sometimes you can go into self-effort doing that. Well, if I spend a bit longer and if I just do this and if I do that, then it's going to, you know. I think the way to get a habit is you little and often. See, if you take little and often, then suddenly you become addicted to it. You cultivate something where you know, I think sometimes if we approach God like, well, I've had my quiet time, I've kind of done my thing, but it doesn't necessarily trigger a desire or cultivate something in that moment that says, I want to stay here. I've got to get to the 8 o'clock, or I've got to get to work, or something's, you know, and I haven't got, you know, I've been here an hour and a half already, and it's just, I can't, you know, whatever. But you see, I think that starts not by, oh, you know, I need to spend a long time. It's just little and often. Little and often, that desire grows. You get hooked. I want to spend time with Jesus. So you then, even if it's just nipping off here for 5 minutes here, 5 minutes there. I'm not saying that replaces spending time on your own, you know. But what I'm saying is I think to cultivate a desire. See, if you've got an interest for something, what do you do? You're thinking about it a little bit, and you think, when am I going to have a spare half an hour just to nip off and search the internet for the latest thing I want to get? Do you know what I mean? Or there's, I don't know, you're into whatever you're into, and you think, oh, I've just got half an hour now, I'm going to just go and do that for half an hour. And you know, you watch this, do this, or whatever. Why? Because it's a desire, it's an interest. And so you feed that by... When have I got 10 minutes? Oh, yeah, I'll just nip up there. Or everybody else is busy now, so I'll just go and... Yeah, do you understand? Mm-hmm. I think Jesus was like that in terms of his desire. He didn't keep nipping off every 5 minutes, but you see there's opportunities he takes where he's been busy all day doing all kinds of stuff that demands on his life, you know. Forget whether he's doing ministry or not, but we can all be busy with loads of demands. But yet, for him, it was like, no, I want to cultivate this. I want to cultivate the presence of God. I want to be dependent on who he is. And then in Matthew 17, if you want to turn there, Jesus takes Peter, James and John up the mountain. It's called the Mountain of Transfiguration. But he takes them, and what you can believe this or not, but what I personally think or believe is this wasn't just a one-off occasion for Jesus where the glory of God came and they saw the glory of God and Jesus being transfigured. I reckon that happened a lot with Jesus. You know, if you'd come from the glory, Jesus came from heaven, he came from the glory. Imagine it if you'd only lived in a completely perfect environment that was holy, that didn't have any sin in it. Do you know what I mean? It was like completely whatever. And then you knew you had to come down to earth where every person was a sinner. I mean, I don't know if Jesus could smell sin, but you know when you go into certain environments and people say, "Cool, the atmosphere in here is really it's quite heavy, isn't it?" Or you go into some environments and you just feel like the atmosphere is dirty. Do you know what I mean? Not clean, it's dirty. And it's just like, wow, you know. I mean, what did Jesus feel like? I don't know. Yeah, he never judged. He didn't put people down. I mean, he... And so, no wonder he wanted to nip up the mountain and just pop out for a few minutes and, lads, I'll see you in a bit, all right? See you in a couple of hours. I've just, you know... Because he came from the glory. Man, I reckon when he spent time with the Father, I reckon he was like, "Father, I just want to spend some time totally absorbed in who you are. Just want to be right in the glory." Do you reckon? Or is it just me? Now, I reckon that happened loads of times. And that's why he went off on his own to a solitary place up in the mountain somewhere, you know, because he knew, man, when me and the Father get going, it's awesome. And if people saw it, they'd be like, "What is going on here? This is like, you know, 21st century space age coming down here and or whatever." But he said, what did he say to the three of them? He said, don't tell anybody about this until after I've been taken up, till after the Holy Spirit comes. Why was he showing them that? Why was he... Because he wanted them to have that same kind of encounter and relationship with the Father as he did. Saying, "Look, lads, come and see. You've asked me to teach you how to pray, and I've shown you how to pray. But now I want to show you something completely different. I want to give you a glimpse, a taster of what it's like to meet with God in his glory. I want to give you a bit of a taster that's going to mark you, that's going to do something in your life. I want to just give you a little moment, an insight as to what your relationship with the Father could be like. So once you've got the Holy Spirit, this is what it could be. This is what it can be like." Pretty awesome, eh? And we see some of those things begin to happen, don't we, after the Holy Spirit came. Look at Stephen, chapter 7 of Acts. Holy Spirit had just come, things had begun to move, and they asked for, you know, the apostles asked for the disciples. They said, "Get 7 men among you who are full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and get them to do the distribution of food and to do some of the practical things in the life of the church here." And Stephen was one of these guys, and it says here in chapter 7 that he stood up, this is Stephen, began to preach to the crowds. He preached a pretty full-on message when you read chapter 7. And he seems to get quite strong at one point, because he even says, you know, "You guys, you're stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts," verse 51. That's a great way to get to get some guys behind you, isn't it? You know, imagine you're preaching the gospel to a load of people, and we'd want to really encourage them, and, you know, and the next thing he's saying, "You stiff-necked people with uncircumcised hearts and ears, you're just like your fathers. You always resist the Holy Spirit. You know, was there ever a prophet your fathers did not persecute? They even killed those who predicted the coming of the righteous one. And now you have betrayed and murdered him. You have received the law that was put into effect." You know, I mean, this is brilliant, isn't it? Does anybody want to give their life to Jesus? After that lot, you know? This guy's on fire. Do you know what I mean? He's preaching or whatever. And what do? They're pretty irate about. So when they heard this, they were furious and gnashed their teeth. What a cool sentence. Gnashed their teeth. Imagine, you know, how many of them are there? A few hundred, a few thousand people all going like this. It's more like a cartoon, isn't it? This moment, they're gnashing their teeth. They're all standing there going, "We're upset." Do you know what I mean? Or whatever they were doing. But what do? Sorry, it's just the way I sort of see things when I'm reading the Bible sometimes. They grabbed stones and began to stone him. What did he do? But Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, looked up to heaven and saw the glory of God standing at the right hand, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And what does he say? "Look, I see heaven open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. As they covered their ears and yelling at the top of their voices, they all rushed at him, dragged him out of the city, began to stone him. What is he? Saul's obviously there looking on. While they were stoning him, look at this. Stephen prayed, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he said this, he fell asleep. How did he get to that point? Well, if you look in chapter 6, it said that they couldn't stand up. They couldn't argue with him. They couldn't stand up against the spirit by which he spoke. Now, we don't want the conclusion this morning to be that if you spend time in the presence of God, you're going to end up getting stoned, because that's not the most encouraging, you know. If you spend time in the presence of God, you're going to get stoned. Well, thanks. I'm going to do that, aren't I? You know, but there was something about this guy. He obviously cultivated the presence of God in his life. There was something that when in the middle of a situation, there was the Holy Spirit at work, that they couldn't stand up, not to him, but the spirit by which he spoke. There was something about the presence of God, about the authority of God, about the spirit of God on him, that that just rattled them. It wound them up. Now, okay, it was pretty challenging into their situation, because he was pretty full on, and the religious guys obviously went nuts and killed him. Where are you going with this, Clive? This is a bit, you know. On one level, Stephen didn't care, did he? He got to the point where it was like, well, if I die, I die. Good morning. But there was something that was at work in him, to the point, in one sense, where he lost himself, didn't he? That's pretty challenging, isn't it? But he lost himself. But it wasn't just because he made a decision one day, oh, I don't care. You know, if people stone me, they stone me. You know, let's all stand up now in the meeting. Right, everybody make a decision. I don't care if people stone me. I'm going to live for Jesus. And it comes out of your mouth, but your heart's going, I really hope that doesn't happen. I really hope, you know. See, what was he doing? He cultivated a relationship with God. He cultivated the presence of God. How do we know that? He was a man full of faith, full of wisdom, grace. There were five or six things that describe who he was, full of the Spirit. And he cultivated something in his life. It wasn't just randomly picked out of a crowd. Well, you look like a nice bloke. Can you sort of distribute food? It's a pretty easy job. Anybody could do it. No, they were like, no, we want people who are going to go with faith, going to be going with grace, we want filled with power. Going to see things happen, heal the sick, do all kinds of stuff. Brilliant. So he'd obviously cultivated something in his life. So we want to cultivate an environment here, don't we? Not a heavy one. Okay, it feels a bit sobery this morning, but we don't want to make this heavy. But we want to cultivate an environment in our own lives personally, but also for us corporately more and more, for the presence of God to abide. And Steve said something, I don't know whether he said it Saturday or Sunday, I can't remember now, but that what happens in your private world, my private world, in our own private worlds with God, determines how much we cultivate the presence of God and the tangible presence of God in our lives. But when we come together, how awesome is that then? That we're not dependent on the corporate situation, on us coming together to be the fuel for our lives or to be the spark that makes things happen. But actually, we're cultivating something at home where nobody else sees. And we're cultivating the presence of God so that there's something of the now, the alive, the tangible. There's something. So when we come together, It's like a whole bunch of live wires or whatever coming together. And it's like, you know, what can the Holy Spirit do? And what happens to other people when they come amongst us, you know, because of what God is doing when we're on our own. Like, and he spoke a bit on Saturday more than Sunday about, you know, in our homes and what God wants to do in that environment and then flowing out from there in our lives. That if something's not happening in our own private world, how can it happen in a public one? And all of that. And you know, we've had words as Kingdom Faith from people saying, you're like an earthing point, you know, not the only one, but you're like an earthing point for the presence of God on it, you know. And I can't remember, this is a few years ago now, somebody who was visiting, I think, had this vision or saying that it was like there was a God had opened heaven, there was a shaft of light coming down, and God wanted us, it's to do with actually cultivating the presence of God. It was different words we used, but it's that kind of thing. And it was like a shaft of light coming out of heaven, hitting where we are here, and then just boom, going out, you know. But not just a one moment thing, there's a shaft of light, there it goes, but this constant, you know, accessing of heaven on earth, you know. And God, you know, this shaft of life, of power, of light coming down, but then constantly going out. And how do you do it? You cultivate an environment for the presence of God. A dwelling place, a place for God to inhabit, that is then, so there's a constant kind of supply, constant release of his life, constant movement from God to us, and then that constant kind of life going out. From and that's part of, well, if that's one of the things God has said prophetically, that's part of the call upon our lives as Kingdom Faith to live in that way. And we do that anyway because we want to worship, we want to meet with God. But for me, there's just something fresh that God is encouraging us with, you know, from the weekend. I know most of you just heard him on Sunday, but in terms of what he brought. But I know just chatting with him outside the meetings and the sessions, just some of the stuff we talked about and what's been happening with them in the last 6 months and some of the stories he told. He's told quite a few stories on Saturday of what God is doing just because they've been, you know, seeking the Lord and just developing this culture of for them. He said, you know, we've been so ordered and regimented. This is his own situation. You know, we haven't really given the Holy Spirit the space to move in the way that he's really wanted to. And we're just learning a few things that we've not really, you know, we've had everything really ordered and really, you know, he's that kind of guy. And he said, I think the Holy Spirit's just trying to unorder me and all of that. But for me, it wasn't like, oh, well, we've never known that sort of thing. But I think God's like, right, guys, there's something off the beaten track that I want to do. I'm taking you somewhere where you've never, none of you, have been there before. It doesn't matter what our history is, who's experienced what. God is not repeating anything he's done in Kingdom Faith before. Nobody, none of us, have been where God is taking us. Because if we have, we're just going to go back to something we've had, and then God's saying, no, I'm taking you off. There's an unbeaten path that you don't know how to navigate it unless you really flow and listen with me, you know, to me. So that's a challenge for leadership at the end of the day, that one. And but I think God wants to create a fresh hunger in our lives. And some of that is us creating that hunger. It's not waiting for the Holy Spirit to do it. Holy Spirit, come on, give me a new hunger. Give me a new hunger. You fuel something by feeding it, don't you? If you feed, you get a greater desire for whatever you're feeding on. If it's wine gums, you're going to get fat and spotty, you know. And if it's the presence of God, then things are going to happen, you know. And so let's stand together, shall we? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Praise your awesome name. God moves according to our faith. He doesn't move according to excitement or atmosphere or us. Sometimes we think if we're going to be holy, then, oh, I better, you know, just settle down a little bit. And even that, God doesn't move when we think we're being spiritual or whatever. God moves because of faith that is activated, that is in operation. And as we just spend a few minutes just talking, responding, and just beginning to pray, and as you cultivate something in your own life, you know, just take, I don't know, you during today even, whatever you're doing, maybe it's like, God, I just want to spend a few minutes. I'm just going to go and spend a few minutes. I've got 10, 15 minutes. I haven't particularly got anything to do. So rather than just doing whatever, I'm just going to go back to my room or go to my office or go be at home, whatever you're doing, wherever you are, you know, I'm just going to go and I just want to spend 5-10 minutes just being in your presence, worshipping you for a few minutes. Just saying, Jesus, I love you. I want to know you. You're awesome. You're beautiful. And just being in his presence, saying, God, I want you to saturate me with yourself in a fresh way. And just beginning to cultivate and begin to fuel the presence of God. A place of inhabitation, a place for God to abide. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That we become, I don't know if addicted is the right word, but where we long for the presence of God. Now, that means you've got the presence of God with you all the time, and you'll sense him with you. You'll know, like Steve said the other day, on the way to the meeting, they had to pull over in the car, you know, because it was like, we just had to pull over, and God just came, he was there. That's what I mean by God with us and living in the presence of God. But it's cultivated, isn't it? It's not just, sometimes we can hear that and say, oh, I'd love God just to turn up like that. God doesn't want to just turn up, you know, to give us an experience or turn up so that we have a story. Oh, you know, I was driving along, God just, I had to pull over, God just turned up in my car, it was amazing. It's got nothing to do with it, whether anybody ever hears or knows. It's because you and me just have a very, very simple desire that says, Jesus, I just want to know you. I want to be with you. I want you to be with me. Whether anybody ever knows that I spend time with you or you've done something as a result of that or you move, whether I ever get to tell that story or not, I don't want to know you so that I can tell stories. I don't want to come into your presence so that then I can, you know, do this, that, and the other and say, well, I just want to cultivate the presence of God because I want to know you and I want you to know me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Lord, Lord, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, one of the things that I believe God's saying, God's not saying to any of us, look, you're nowhere with me, what you've been playing at. Because we're all walking with God. And I think when God begins to reveal something more of himself, or he says, hey, guys, come on, there's another dimension to who I am than you've known. There's more to me than you've seen, than you understand, than you've encountered. There's a whole another dimension. It's like when God begins to do that, you kind of feel like, hey, well, what have I been doing? Where have I been? I feel like I've only been in third gear instead of sixth gear or something. But as far as you were concerned, you were in sixth gear going for it. But then God says, that's brilliant. Now I'm going to begin to show them something more of who I am. I'm just going to begin to stir in them for another level of who I am and what I'm about, and in terms of them meeting with me. And it's like then God begins to kind of press a few buttons, then he speak a little bit, or somebody comes along to just kind of with that little prodding stick to say, hey guys, come on, you know, there's more than you've seen before, and there's an encouragement from God, and it's like, so as we respond, something's quickened in us, and it's like, God, oh Father, I should have forgiven. You know, you might feel like saying, God, forgive me, I feel like I've only been ticking over. And I didn't realize, I thought I was doing all right, but actually you've just shown me something of yourself, and I'm just getting, there's an impartation from this guy at the front over to, you know, that where it's like, whoa, Jesus, I just want to spend time with you. Father, I've been missing a beat a little bit. I've just, I realize I've just gone off the boil a little bit, and suddenly it's like, God, right, I want to quicken, accelerate what's happening in me. Jesus, I want to re-engage with you at another level from today. Do you understand? Yes. So let's just take a few minutes to pray. And if you know, well, I thought I was doing all right, but actually, man, I realize I'm only in third gear. Father, I want to move out of third and into fourth. Father, I want to move into fifth, into sixth. Father, I don't just want to cruise down the highway with you. Father, I want to know you in a fresh way. I thank you that you're revealing who you are to me in a fresh way. But Father, there is a longing, there's a desire that is within me. I want to walk with you, but I want you to walk with me. Father, I want to know you in a greater way, to be in your presence, to cultivate that environment where you can come and abide, you can come and inhabit, you can come and remain, you can come and live, make your home, as you say in your word. I and the Father will then make our home with you and in you. Father, that's what I want the environment of my life to be, a place where you are at home with the Father in me. You're abiding, you're dwelling, you're remaining. Jesus, Jesus, Father, forgive me where I've given myself to other things or let the time slip away and not really use that time in a wise way or in a way that's really going to be constructive for my life. Father, I thank you as I press into you, a fresh desire is sparked on the inside of me. I thank you as I little and often feed that desire that it begins to grow. Father, I thank you for a fresh passion on the inside, that zeal for your house, Father. I thank you as just the freshness of your Holy Spirit that stirs up within me at this time. Father, I don't just want a visitation. I want there to be an inhabitation of my life. Father, I'm not just looking for an experience to say, well, that happened 2 weeks ago. Father, I want to live in the experiential life and power of who you are daily, Father. And I thank you that that is available. I thank you that I live in that, but I want to know you in a deeper way, a more tangible way. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. There is a dimension of, or a level or release of, whatever words we might use, of his life or his power or things happening through our lives. And sometimes I just need more faith. I just need to do this. And actually, it's like, now let's get into the presence of God and let God do what he wants to do. Let him speak. You know, when you get into the presence of God, especially when you're on your own, he begins to speak. Things begin to happen. And actually, sometimes you don't feel anything at all. A lot of the time, I don't. When I get up in the morning, I spend some time worshiping and that, and a lot of the time I don't feel anything. And for me, I'm not there thinking, well, I don't feel anything yet. I haven't got there. You know, so I've got to keep going until I get there. It's like, well, what? Go get where? And, you know, it is by faith. Because in the morning, you're not feeling the zippiest. You know, that's not the zippiest point of the day for me when I get up in the morning, you know. But you get up and you're there and you're like, right, by faith now, I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, I'm with you right now. Praise your awesome name. And you just begin to come right into the... You see, a lot of the time you don't feel anything, but God begins to speak, he does stuff. But it's not about feeling stuff, it's about just cultivating. I want to be with you, Jesus. And Then things begin to happen. Might be a few weeks later, might be a few days, might be a few months later, but things begin to happen because God wants to develop us. In one sense, he does know, but he wants to know whether we just want an experience and just a moment, or whether we want to be a place to abide. Deep calls to deep. See, what does the Holy Spirit do? The Holy Spirit searches the deep things of God and then reveals them to us. But he reveals those things to people who abide and remain in him. It's like a perpetual desire to want to know God more, even though you know him already. You want to know him more. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy One. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just pray for all of us, anybody else that might listen to this message today. Father, I just pray that as we cultivate your presence, spend time with you. Father, I thank you that our lives change as a result. You're going to put your finger on some things. You're going to speak to us about it. You're just going to show stuff. But when you do that, it's not condemning whatsoever. It's actually freeing. Because as we meet with you, things begin to change. Our desires begin to change. What we want to do begins to change. And more it comes into line with your desires, with your will, with what you want. It's just something that's... Just, because the one that we're in the presence of, as we heard on, I think it was Sunday morning, overshadows us, overtakes us. That's brilliant. Love that. That if you spend time in the shadow of who he is, then his shadow overtakes who we are, and he begins to come through more than we come through in our lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I just pray that even today, as we spend time with you at different moments, in the next few days, thank you, as we cultivate, that you would come and inhabit yourself amongst us in a new way. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith, and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.